Not yet. Again.
Okay, thank you. It's good. Okay. So I've got another, I don't know, 13 hours and Tisha B'Av is starting. Pretty scary. And you guys have got another 24 hours for Tisha B'Av to start or something like that. Yes. And it's a scary day because basically what we're doing is suffering and scared if we're going to manage the fast. And being honest, we're just waiting for it to be over and the suffering should cease and don't really see much point in it. Each person, obviously, with their inner feelings about it, but I think I just summed it up pretty well for all of us. Let me take it to another question. Besides saying what's the point, let's say I was yes to improve and was yes to get something out of it. And apparently Rabbi Saunders last week gave the most incredible and inspiring share, which I cannot match. But he gave an inspiring share. And let's say that Tisha B'Av does something to you and causes you to improve and to upgrade. Are you going to bring the Beis HaMikdash? You? Just because you improved? Isn't it a kind of a give up hope scenario where no matter how good I'm going to be, let's say that miracle would happen, that I'm not going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the point? What are we going to get out of this whole thing? And Tisha B'Av is Churban Beis HaMikdash. So what are we doing? So I'm going to try and give a little bit of an answer for that. I hope it will help, at least for myself, something that I can grab onto and aim for when I'm sitting on the floor. There was a kenes for Shmiras HaLoshen in Binyanei HaOmah last week where there were three speakers, Rabbi Nissel, and Rabbi Sol Reisman from Flatbush and the Pesach Kron from Queens. They all spoke magnificently. How do I know? Besides my wife and kids telling me, I heard the CD last night so I can try and give a share today to you. And I'm going to use some of the things that they said because they were amazing and build around that. So Rabbi Nissel was the MC, the introduction man. And he said something brilliant. As you know, there's a war. It's a very sad and difficult war that's going on in Israel. And what the way you are participating in this war is something to be bewildered by. It's amazing how you feel it. How you girls are taking part of it, and the whole of Chutzlah, besides that, Israel is taking part in this war. And the Banisho said something like this, that when Klal Yisrael fought Amalek, Amisol was divided into two. There was Yeshua, who was leading the physical war, real war, that he was waging against Amalek with weapons and tactics. And then there was a war that was a spiritual war. It was being fought by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain. And whenever he raised his arms, Klal Yisrael looked up and won. And whenever he put his arms down, Klal Yisrael lost. And so there were two wars being waged at that time, two battles. On the battlefront, the physical battle and the spiritual battle. And Rabbi Nissel said to the woman in Binyanei HaOmah, I think there might have been 2,500, and he said, you tonight are waging the spiritual battle and coming together to refrain from Lashon Hara and from other bad things, is fighting a spiritual battle, and because of you we can win the physical battle. And so what you're doing, you, by fasting on Tisha B'Av and focusing on the right things, you'll be fighting and waging the spiritual battle. And winning the spiritual battle will help the soldiers win the physical one. And I want to make it deeper than that, and it's poshut that it's like this. Rav Neventhal says so, it's poshut, that the physical battle is being fought because there's a lack of spirituality, because there's a war spiritual that needs to take place. And when we win the spiritual battle, it's not then, okay, then you can win the physical. It's then there's no need for the physical, and that's why it wins. So if we're asking, then I cannot bring the Beis HaMikdash through my own Avodas Hashem, through my own fasting. First of all, it's not true, because the Rambam says the world always has to be seen by each one of us as half chayev and half zakai. And it could be that my one mitzvah can tip the scale and make the world half zakai and we'll be zoche to geula. So it is true. It is possible that my avodas Hashem can bring the geula. But on a deeper level, I think the answer is, we see in Gemara certain times that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that about certain tzaddikim, that they are worthy of having Gilui Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says. There are certain people in the door that should get the Gilui Shechina like Moshe Rabbeinu did. So why aren't they getting it? Because the door is not ready for it. The door is not on a level that that person can receive it. But think of that person. What's his life? His life, spiritually, if you want to look at like in a balloon, in a bubble, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu. And without him even realizing that he's on that level, because he should have got the Shechina, then he is on that level. And his life is lived like that. And everybody around him is affected. And when he gets to Olam Haba, then he gets the full blast of what he was supposed to get in this life, just that the door wasn't worthy of it. So when we improve and do what we're supposed to on a fast day, what we're doing is building, if not the Beis HaMikdash for Klal Yisrael, we're building our own Beis HaMikdash. And we're making ourselves Kodesh. And we're building a wall in the bubble around us, which is full of Kedusha, which affects people around us in a very big way. And it adds X amount of Kedusha to Klal Yisrael, which brings the Geula closer. And in Olam Haba, we're building our own Beis HaMikdash. And it's poshut like that. And therefore, it's very wrong to downplay the building of our own personal Beis HaMikdash. And whenever we think to ourselves that I'm not worthy of building the Beis HaMikdash, who am I? And just because I'm going to be more makpid in certain things, then it's not going to do anything, not for myself or for Klal Yisrael. It's a very big mistake. Otherwise, you wouldn't be required to do Avelus. You wouldn't be required to do anything, because what's the point? Rav Reisman said that Eicha begins, Eicha Yoshua Badod, Oira Bosiom, how did Yerushalayim sit all alone? All by itself. And we see now in this war that Klal Yisrael is so isolated by the nations of the world, by the United Nations, which, excuse me, is one big heap of trash, one big bunch of anti-Semites, unbelievable. Mr. Obama just so self-righteously said that it's very wrong to be bombing schools, as if Israel intends to kill children and women. It's the only country in the world where before bombs an area, it tells people to move out and drops leaflets and sends them SMSs so they should leave. And then they bomb the area. There's no other country in the world that does that. America killed hundreds and thousands of civilians in Afghanistan without batting an eyelid. But we're the ones that are terrible. And the whole world is demonstrating against this poor little isolated nation that nobody wants around. And if they could do the Holocaust again, Chas Hashem, they would. I don't know if you saw the news, but my brother, Rafi, he does tours to Auschwitz in Poland. He knows it very well and all that stuff. And you can look it on Sheva, I think it was. I don't know, I found it somewhere else. People already started emailing me. And they found that he was in Auschwitz on Friday and he was with a group and they started singing Animami. And the police were called and took him into a side room, arrested him, and told him either he pays a fine for singing Animami in Auschwitz or he has to sit for 24 hours in prison. So he, being the fighter that he is, said he would have sat in prison, just that he's leading the group, so he has to get out in the 3 hours before Shabbos, otherwise he would have sat. So he paid the money, and there's I hope there will be an uproar. I mean, Auschwitz, there's no sign that you can't sing. And he was just singing the song that people sang on the way to being gassed. So the anti-Semites, the whole world is anti-Semites. Eicha Yosheva Badod, how are we so alone? And on the other hand, there's a pasuk in Binyan which says, "Am levadad yishkon." This is a nation that can sit on its own. And it's a bracha because Bilam gave brachas to Klal Yisrael against his will, but he gave them. So I don't understand what Reizman said. Is Bodod a good thing or is it a bad thing? And he went to prove from different sources that it depends. If you do it on your own, and you create a vadad from the goyim around you, and he compared it to a young couple who just got married and are totally oblivious to their surroundings. They can even be in a public park, sitting on a bench, and won't even notice that there are 500 people also in the park. I don't remember, there used to be these kind of photographs where the entire background would be black and white and gray, and you had this little girl with a yellow hat only holding a lollipop, and those were the only things in color, for example, and it would be such a stark contrast that it looked incredible, beautiful idea. A young couple sitting in Central Park are totally oblivious to their surroundings, or a couple on a date, and it's going well, obviously, because if it's not going well, they want to run away. They're oblivious to their surroundings. So what, is that a bad badad? Is that a bad bedidus? Bad being alone? No, it's called the serenity of being alone. It's heaven. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us, Klal Yisrael, that I want you to create a bedidus. I want you to create a badad. And creating a badad means that you live with me. And you be alone with me. And you live a life with me of serenity, of peace, and a life of wanting to be Rotzon Hashem and not taking note of the goyim. And levadad yishkon v'goyim lo yishashov, that the nation that lives on their own and they don't take notice of the goyim. And what they see the goyim do is so disgusting in their eyes that it doesn't apply to them.
Remember the muscle I gave you when you were in seminary, or when you walk in the store in Beit HaKerem, because in Hanover it doesn't apply, but in Beit HaKerem there's a lot of dog food and cat food. And if you're enticed by the dog food and cat food, then you're a dog. And we're not enticed, because we're not dogs, Baruch Hashem. And I'm the Lord of Yishkoim, when you sit on your own, in solitude, in your solitude, that you're separate from the Goyim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have to create Eicha Yoshva Bodo, then he doesn't have to create an isolation from the Goyim in the sense that they isolate you as being like we are now. So it's up to us to create this isolation. Whatever happens, Rabbi Eisen said, and quoted in the Tziv, we're going to be isolated. We're going to be on our own. The question is, are we going to do it on our own? And then it'll be an isolation when the Goyim will exalt us and look up to us as separate. Or we're going to try and mix with the Goyim and take whatever we can from them, because I know it's nice. And then they're going to create an isolation that they don't want us, and we're like lepers and the wrong people of the world and all the shtiyot that they say. And then the Tziv says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sefer Dvorim, I say, that's what the Tziv says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael in Kovod and Menuche. He wants to give us such grace and honor and peace and serenity in Eretz Yisrael, and that we shouldn't mix with the Goyim. But now, the Tziv says, when you change what you look like, when you change what you dress like, and you're trying to copy the Goyim, then you became alone in a different way. So, because I'm running out of time, I'll try and get more to the point and say something like this. The point of a fast day, Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, and I sent to you on Thursdays, if it doesn't go straight into spam because I sent too much stuff, then you'll find it in the spam box if you didn't get it. Then Rabbi Avigdor Miller asked, what's the point of a fast day? And he said, each fast has a different theme. The tachlis at the end of the fast, there needs to be a kind of a maskona. Okay, what am I better at? Why is that an outcome of a fast? And in one of the sheets that I sent to you, and I think a week or two ago, and it was an essay. It was beautiful because I didn't write it. I took it from somewhere. I can't remember where. It was an incredible question. You know that Tisha B'Av, the second time, is because of Sinas Chinam. And one of the halachas of Tisha B'Av is that you're not allowed to greet someone in the street. You don't say hello, you don't say good morning. In the poskim, it says you don't even nod your head. There's no even a kind of a, acknowledgement that I see you. It's a snobbiness of walking past someone as if they're not there. Hello, that's the opposite of Tisha B'Av, no? Shouldn't it be that you greet everybody and don't have seen a chinam, and now you're just acting as if you do? What kind of thing is that? And in that essay, which I cannot remember who wrote it, he answered and said, because I'm going to take something away from you that you can appreciate it. I'm going to take away your greetings to people because sometimes they're shallow or sometimes they're hollow, and you don't mean it. So I'm taking it away from you. No people. Just like the Metzorah, we'd have to sit outside Machane, and when somebody would come close, he wouldn't greet him. He would say, Tome, go away from me. I'm Tome, don't come close. You become Tome from me. In other words, you, when you were part of Klal Yisrael, you spoke bad against people. You caused a division. Okay, so get out and don't divide yourself from people. Go and learn what it means to divide. Be outside the camp, don't say hello to anybody. Tell people to run away from you because you're a leper. So on Tisha B'Av, you don't greet, you don't acknowledge. Come on, you think With some people you can play snob. With some people you can think and show that you're better than them. And they, how dare they even look at you? Okay, I want you not to appreciate people. I want you to appreciate what it means to be on your own when nobody looks at you. Nobody greets you. Because I want you to greet with your heart. I don't want you to greet with your mouth. I want you to greet with your heart. And so next time you do say good morning and hello and smile to someone, it's from inside your heart, it's not from outside your heart. It's not just from your mouth. It's not good morning, love, like they say in the stores, and just mean come on, need your money. It needs to be from your heart that they really care about you. Avigdor Miller said when you eat at the end of the fast and you drink at the end of the fast, you are withheld from food and drink for 25 hours. I want you now to appreciate your food and appreciate your drink and attribute it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to something that it gives you on a daily basis, all day, and something you take for granted. I want you to appreciate that at the end of the fast. The fast day is to appreciate us. To appreciate the life that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us from Yidden. Now we don't understand everything. We really don't. We don't understand anything. We don't understand why more than 60 soldiers are dead. And why more than 100 soldiers are wounded. We really don't understand. And the wounds are not scratches. The wounds are for many of them, are life-scarring and life-shattering. And it's limbs, and it's eyes, and it's Hashem Yerachem. And we don't understand anything. And we don't understand people's sorrows, and we don't understand our sorrows. And often we can come on Hashem, couldn't you have done it better? So, a fast day is, okay, cut off from the world. And Tisha B'Av is a hard fast, just sitting on the floor, like an oval. Some people, I'm not telling you to do this, but some people sleep on the floor on Tisha B'Av night, on a mattress, on the floor, like worse than an oval, and feeling that, whoa, I'm nothing. I don't have life. I don't have anything. I don't have food, I don't have drink, I don't have friends, I don't have people, I don't have mitzvahs. You're not allowed to even tell you that's exciting. You can only learn bad things. You can learn Yusuf Avedus. You can read about the Holocaust. You can learn Yirmiyahu. You can learn Iyov. You can read about the Torah of Klal Yisrael Hashem Yirachem. You don't have to learn Torah because it's happy. You mean, so what am I alive for? I can't enjoy anything. I can't be in Sameach on Tisha B'Av, which is taking away life itself. Yeah, I want you to be like that because I want you to appreciate what you do have. So Tisha B'Av has to be a kind of a feeling of what do I have and what am I supposed to have in my life and what should I bring into my life. And you can only do that by taking away something. Rabbi Gamila says that there are people that are young in age, that are old in spirit, because they're always looking that things were better. And the future is bleak, and the past was nice and good, and we had Gdolim, and we had Tzadikim, and we did things better. So the future's down. You see, those people are called old. And you have people that might be old in age, and they look back and they say, the past is dead. I'm not interested in the past. I'm interested in the future to make it a better place. And those people, you said, are young in spirit. It doesn't matter how old they are. And Tisha B'Av is the day of the future. It's not a day of the past. Indeed, we're crying, Malavai, for the Beis HaMikdash that got burnt and the Tzolos that befell Klal Yisrael, and we don't have to go so far to feel it. You can just look now and read the news. And you can see the Tzolos that are befalling Klal Yisrael. And you're supposed to now be young in spirit and say, okay, I want to make it better. I'm going to try and make it better for myself by being bothered, by being secluded from the going in the sense that I'm going to live like a Yid. And I need to take stock, and I need to take count of the way I make my brachas, because I'm Tisha B'Av, you make less brachas if you don't eat. So you look at your brachas, how am I making my brachas? How am I saying my Moedei Ani? How am I davening? How am I doing my Benodim L'Chaveroi? Because I'm not greeting people on Tisha B'Av. I'm not being Me'areach. I'm not taking anybody into my house in Tisha B'Av. Why? Because maybe too often I take people into my house and I do it just because I have to, not because I want to. So I've got to take stock on Tisha B'Av. And the more things that I can think of that need improving means that I'm not crying about the past. I'm being excited for the future. And the morning of Tisha B'Av is that I wrecked my past. And I'm wrecking my life as it is now. And I cannot live it as it is now. And I have to create a better life for myself and a better life for the people around me. I have to build my own personal Beis HaMikdash. If that will bring the Shekhinah back to Klal Yisrael in the grand scale of the building of the real Beis HaMikdash, Gevaldik. And if it doesn't, then I'm building my Beis HaMikdash, which affects people around me. I have to say something to all of you. It's going to sound funny, and I think one of the girls that told me this is listening in tonight, and she's going to kill me for this, but I'm not going to say her name. But she was on a date, and on the date, she said brachas like she knows how to say brachas. And the guy didn't say the brachas like she says the brachas. And she felt awkward. And she said to me, I don't want a guy to be less than me. I want a guy to be better than me. And my answer, just by the way, what do you do in that kind of situation? How do you look at it? So it doesn't mean that he's really trying to less than yours, by the way, when that happens. It just means that it wasn't accented like yours was. By him, by a good yeshiva bocher, the average yeshiva bocher, Yiddishkeit is learning, and then chesed, maybe, but it's learning. So the more he learns, or the better he learns, the Yiddishkeit's better. But the Moshgiach and yeshiva didn't accent or punctuate enough the necessity of saying brachas properly or davening properly. It counts, but it's not the matter. It's not the main thing. So the male is not part of his Yiddishkeit. It's not that he's a bad guy. But by you, it's part of your Yiddishkeit because you don't learn Torah. So what's your Yiddishkeit? Everything else. It doesn't mean that you're better than him. Let's just explain that. That girl now has two options. She can either dump him because he's not good, or she cannot dump him and say, well, I don't want him to feel awkward, so I'm going to say brachas like he does. And that's destroying the Beis HaMikdash. What that girl has to do, she has to continue making the brachas like she makes the brachas, as if he's not there. And if the guy's got any seichel in his head, he'll try and impress her by making brachas like she does. So obviously it's a mashal to dating. But it's life like that. Whatever we do around us, we can create and build our own Beis HaMikdash. And we have to, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you create your B'dibus, if you create your solitude without looking what other people are doing and how they're doing things, and only learning the good things from them and improving yourself, then I would need to isolate you from other people and make people say that you're weird and that you're a bad person, etc. You create your bodod, your eicha, then I want us to create an eicha yeshua bodod. So, just to end off, because we ran out of time already, unfortunately, is that this must be a time for all of us where we improve and look to the future to make it a better place for us. And, yeah, it's nothing wrong. You're allowed to write on Tisha B'Av. So, when you're sitting on the floor, and you've had enough of listening to or saying kinnis or anything that doesn't really talk to you, so take a pen and paper in your hand and write down the things that you want to improve. Not that you're bad, but that you want to improve. And you think about how to improve them and why you need to improve them. And that will be the foundation of your Beis HaMikdash. And the Saturday Shmaya, we should be very clear to building our own personal Beis HaMikdash and be very clear to building the Beis HaMikdash of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem should stop this mourning and stop the tzolos of Klal Yisrael and give Yeshua to Klal Yisrael and give Nechama to all the families that lost their sons and husbands, that they'll have a serenity and a peace, that there was a cause for it and a reason for it. And it should look after all the soldiers on the battlefront, and the people are getting attacked by the missile. Those rockets of the Gaza County Square and bring the base on Indos and Hero in many months. Okay.